Well, good morning. It's great to see y'all in the sanctuary this morning, and a few of us that are online. Y'all can stand if you can, and we're going to start out by singing The Solid Rock on page 526. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. All right, our next song is going to be more about Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
All right, praise the Lord. Our next song is going to be Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. still praying as I'm onward bound. My plant must land on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, our last song this morning will be Footsteps of Jesus.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Cold, dark mountains seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway glow. Follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Lest when on high he sees us, our journey done,
we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Very good, very good. Outstanding. Yeah, we do have some birthdays. Y'all want to do the birthdays? And then those of you going to children's church, are you ready for children's church today? You going to do some children's church maybe? Got one mini? All right. Well, we'll do it. We got two going to go with you. You got a helper? Yeah, all right. Very good. Man, you're going to get the full meal deal today, girly girl. Amen. Well, hey, y'all want to wait till we sing birthdays? Oh, let's sing some birthdays. All right, we got Misty Tosh. Misty Tosh, 11:17. All right, Misty. Amen. Very good. Is this going to be some big birthday? How old are you going to be, kid? 46. All right, 11:17, 46. Misty Tosh. And then Peggy Murray. Did Peggy make it? No, no Peggy today. Bless their hearts. They came last week. So Peggy was here last week, Peggy and Marshall. Peggy, if you're watching us online, happy birthday, babe. And I don't know how old Peggy is. Anybody? She's got to be 70-something. Old enough. Amen. Old enough. All right, let's sing Misty and Peggy a happy birthday today. Very good.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Amen. Many more. All right. Yeah, give them a hand. Happy birthday to them. Outstanding. Children's Church is on their way. And the rest of you folks get this today. Amen. If you're a praying people, and I know some of you do pray, you'll say just a quick prayer for your pastor. My right hip is, that's my bad hip. Everybody's got a bad something. Well, I got a bad right hip. And I haven't put it in traction in a couple of days. I normally don't put it in traction unless it hurts, and so it's hurting, and I don't have my traction stuff up here. You say, what are you talking about? I actually put my leg in traction to relieve the pressure. It sucks synovial fluid in the joint, and then when I take the traction off, I've got a little bit of a cushion there. So my cartilage, those of you that have had hip replacement, hip issues, my cartilage is about gone in a spot in my right hip. And so, anyway, I haven't done traction. I don't have my traction stuff up here. You would look at me and think, what is he doing if I went into traction or tried to put it in traction before I preach? So it really hurts. And the pain, you can ask Kenneth about the pain or ask Bobby. It's painful. Feels like somebody's got a sharp something or another poking up. Man, Larry knows, poking up in your hip joint. So yeah, it ain't fun. So if you're praying, people, pray that I get through it and that the hip will last till I get home. So it may be a shorter message. That's one way to get a shorter message, amen. Before he starts preaching, just go up and knee him in his hip. We may get a short message, man. All right, if you have a copy of God's Word today, let's take them and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading here in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we're just going to read two verses here, and we're going to commence to trying to go through this. And this is a message for the lost. This is a message for the saved who knows somebody that is lost. So it's a message for everybody today. But if you're watching me online, good to have you with us on the interweb, the internet, whatever we call that, the World Wide Webaroo. Good to have you with us today. And if you're lost, if you're seeing this morning on, what is this, November the what, 15th? You're seeing this November the 15th, or you're seeing this sometime after, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you, internet audience, this is a sovereign thing that you've tuned in, right? Well, you got here by accident. Well, you were looking up another New Hope Church. Well, this is a sovereign thing that you got here, and we invite you to stay with us till the whole conclusion, the whole getting out of this 13 and 14 today. All right? So Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God reads, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." Verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And notice what it says. Notice what it says. And there are few who find it. Many on the wide road, few on the narrow road. My soul. I didn't say it, Jesus did. These are Jesus' words. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, it is a sobering text. It is a wake up, pay attention. It is a heart-searching passage. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that is simply religious and does not have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I pray that this would be the passage, Lord, that you would use to wake them from their slumber. And Lord, you would draw them to your side, and your convicting Holy Spirit would initiate the process in their heart of salvation, and they would exercise their free will to receive you as personal Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, for these that are watching online today, we pray a special prayer for them that through the preaching of your holy and errant word, their hearts would be pricked, would be touched, would be wrenched, would be turned towards you, and they would open the heart of their door and allow you to come in and sup with them. Lord, we pray that this is a saving, salvation-type moment for somebody here today. And Lord, if no one gets saved today in this congregation, no one gets saved watching online, I pray that those who know lost people would be reminded by this passage how important the gospel is, and they would take it to those that they know, and they would share the gospel truth, even using this little short outline to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we love you today for all that you do. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that we had an opportunity to exercise our choice and our faith, and we voted for you. We praise you and we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and errant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, as we deal with these two verses, a short passage, man, it was really a short passage, just two verses, 13 and 14. As we deal with these two verses, loaded with truth, I mean, they're just overflowing with truth. We literally begin, what do we begin? We literally begin Jesus' conclusion to his great Sermon on the Mount. Here at the very beginning, at the beginning of the conclusion, Jesus begins to make his great appeal to which he has been moving toward the whole sermon. He's been moving this direction the whole sermon. He gives the call right here. He gives the call to decide about becoming a citizen of God's kingdom and inheriting eternal life, or what? Or remaining a citizen of this fallen world and what? And receiving damnation. It's either or. Can't have both. One or the other. In other words, the way to life, the way to life everlasting, is on God's terms alone. And the way to damnation is on any terms a person wants. Because every way but God's way leads to the same fate. Just a quick review, if you will, of where we've kind of been and what Jesus has been doing as he's been working this direction. Jesus has been moving to this appeal for kingdom citizenship, call it salvation if you will, and as he went through this sermon, as he went through this great sermon on the Mount of Olives, he gives God's standards throughout the sermon, standards that are holy, standards that are perfect, and that are diametrically opposed to the self-righteous, the self-sufficient, the hypocritical standards of man. And over again, I don't know about you, but over and over again I did. Over and over again, I found myself, perhaps you found yourself, we found ourselves, probably like the first century audience did, thinking and realizing that we have not met that standard. Oh my goodness, we read that standard and we preach those standards and we thought about those standards and we prayed through those standards, and I often thought, I need some help here. I need some help. I need some grace here. I need some forgiveness here. I thought, man, I need a better way, right? There's got to be a better way. Well, in the explanation of his standards, Jesus has shown us what? He's shown what His kingdom is like. And He's also shown what kingdom people can become, right? What they can become. And consequently, in doing that, Jesus has shown us exactly what kingdom people are not like. So in the midst of all that, now He presents the choice. The choice of entering the kingdom or rejecting the kingdom. Entering the kingdom or not entering the kingdom. Now, say what you will about Christ. Say what you will about Jesus. But I hope today, after reading 13 and 14, I hope today that we can all appreciate Jesus' directness. Not a whole lot of beating around the bush here, is there? I mean, I hope you can really appreciate His directness as He wastes no time focusing on the inevitable decision that every person must make. This inevitable decision is always a crossroads of sorts, where an individual must decide on which gate they will enter and what path they will travel. This decision that Jesus speaks of is like no other decision you'll ever make. No other decision you'll ever make. No other decision carries the same weight. No other decision elicits the same pressure as the one Jesus calls people to make. I mean, let's just think for a moment. Think of the many decisions you make. What to wear. What church to go to. What to eat. Where to go. What to do. What to say when you get there. What to buy. Whom to marry. What career to follow. And on and on. What school? What subjects? What? I mean, many decisions are trivial in life, right? And insignificant. I mean, what socks to wear? What tie goes with that outfit? What shirt goes with those pants? Many decisions are trivial and insignificant. And some of our decisions are essential and life-changing. But friend, none of the decisions that I just mentioned compare to this decision that Jesus calls us to make. The most critical of all decisions is our decision about Jesus Christ and His kingdom. This is the ultimate choice that determines our ultimate destiny. That is the decision that Jesus here calls us to make. Now, I want you to see this. In the perfect harmony with His sovereignty. Oh, He's in control of everything. Amen? He is God. In perfect harmony with His absolute sovereignty, God has always allowed people to choose Him or reject Him. To choose Him or not. And He's always pleaded with them to decide for Him or face the consequences of a choice against Him. Since mankind turned their backs on Him, turned their backs on God in the fall, in the garden, God has made every effort. He has spared no cost in wooing us, in drawing His creatures back to Himself. He has provided and shown the way, leaving nothing to humanity but the choice. It's all you've got to do is make the right choice. God's already made His choice. God has made the choice by providing the way of redemption. Now the choice is each individual's to make. Three things about these two verses. This might help you lead somebody to the Lord. I don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I look at these things and I think, man, this is a possible witnessing tool. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Maybe it's just me. Right? Three things, two verses. Here we go. Number one, there are two possible directions in life. Two possible directions in life. Jesus tells His audience, He tells His audience here that there are only two possible roads in which one can travel. Only two. Many in our day want to tell us that there are many paths that a person can travel through life. However, Jesus limits the choices to just two. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like that. I'm an American. I live in this Western civilization. I really want choices here. You have to take it up with Christ. There's just two here. Two choices, right? This is not What's the place you can have it your way? Burger King? This ain't no Burger King, right? Just two. There are two roads in which humanity can spend their days. Two roads. There is a broad way. That's the first road, a broad way. Verse 13 says, second half of verse 13 says, and the way is broad. The way is broad. The word broad means spacious. Jesus says there is a spacious road which a person can travel. So what does he mean by this broad road? What does he mean by this broad way? The idea that Jesus is trying to convey is that the broad way is wide open, friend. Wide open. In other words, anything goes on the broad way. You can do anything you like. You can carry all the baggage of your sins. You can live like you want to live. You can call all the shots and make all the rules, friend. You can be your own personal king, your own personal God even, on the road that is the broad way. When you walk the broad way, when you travel the broad way, you can be your own person. You don't have to answer to anyone but yourself. You can live life to the fullest. Go where you will, do what you will, and be what you will. You're born a man, you don't want to be a man? It's okay on the broad road, right? Born a woman, don't want to be a woman? That's okay on the broad road. Get pregnant, didn't want to be pregnant on the broad road? No big deal, right? The broad way is the essence of the self-centered life where you call all the shots. And the broad way appears to be an easy way to live, because there's no one to please but yourself. As good as the broad way, as good as the broad road sounds, I need to let you know today, there is a sinister side to this dark way that the open-minded, that the pleasure seekers, that the selfish fail to realize as they seek to travel this road. There's a couple of things you need to know before you decide to live out the rest of your life traveling the broad way. The first thing is this: you're really not in control. Oh, you think you are, but you're really not. Based on the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, you are nothing more than a pawn of the devil, a pawn of the demonic. John 8, 44 spells it out for you. You are not really in control, number one. And number two, sin brings with it pain and sorrow. It always brings pain and sorrow. Two things, don't forget that, if you find yourself on the broad way. God offers a better alternative, whereby those who follow Him enjoy the fullest of God's rich blessings day by day. Things like peace. Things like joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 says, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him. Notice what it says here. It says, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Oh, a better alternative. Peace, joy. How about assurance of salvation? 1 John 5, 13. I write these things to you who believe, so that you might know that you have eternal life. There are multitudes of other things which the Lord gives to us which you will never find while traveling the broad way or the broad road. Now, there's a broad way, right? We're talking about two possible directions of life. Secondly, it's right here in the text, there's a narrow way. Verse 14, the second part of verse 14 says, the way is narrow. Well, what does that mean? Well, this word in the Greek refers to a grape press. A grape press. And conveys the idea of being constricted. Right? Constricted. And can also carry the idea of being distressed and difficult. The narrow way is exactly 180 degrees opposite of the broad way. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. On the narrow way, you can't take all your sins with you, not on the narrow way. If you try, you'll find there is not enough room for you and them. It just doesn't work. When you walk or travel the narrow way, you must choose to give up your rights. It don't all fit on the narrow way. It's impossible. You cannot make the rules on the narrow way, but you're expected to keep the Lord's rules. Now, some people have the mistaken idea that they can live as they please and that the Lord is obligated to smile down on them and just bless them real good and just bless them all the time. I try to communicate to folks. I mean, you know, you're living around me and in Tomball, I don't know if you got any rain this morning, but I got some good rain, right? I mean, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the sinner and the righteous. The rain falls on the saved and the lost. I mean, except for a part of common grace. I'm talking about common grace when we get rain, right? When grass grows, common grace. When you walk the narrow way, you should expect some difficulty on the narrow way. You should expect it. I mean, if we get what the narrow way is in the Greek, wine press, constricted, can mean difficulty, you should expect some. And what has our experience told us, those of us that are on the narrow way? I'll tell you what my experience has told me. My fleshly body, it sometimes resists the confines of the narrow way. It doesn't like it. Right? However, living for the Lord produces certain benefits that cannot be obtained by any other means. The narrow way, it honors God. You're not going to get that any other way. The narrow way brings His blessing and Holy Spirit power into your life. You're not going to find that except on the narrow way. The narrow way offers a far better life from every perspective, friend. The question is, which road are you traveling on today? Those of you watching online, which road are you traveling on today? See, there are two possible directions of life. Secondly, three things about these two verses. The second thing I want to share with you, there are two possible destinations in eternity. Two possible destinations in eternity. All roads end somewhere. That's just the way roads work. There used to be a saying some 2,000 plus years ago that went like this. All roads lead to? There you go, Rome. Yeah. What is Rome, Alex? Yeah. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead somewhere, friend. They inevitably lead somewhere. And the same is true with the roads that we are considering, the ways that we are considering this morning. They lead somewhere. And since everyone listening to me today, everyone in earshot of me today, is on one way or the other, we need to find out where in the world we're going, right? Kind of important. Where are we going? First destination to consider is called destruction. You'll see that there in the passage. Is it verse 13? Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. The first destination to consider is called destruction. Well, what does that mean? When it says destruction, that literally means a place called hell. A real place called hell. Jesus tells us the way is broad that leads to hell, that leads to destruction. When we think of something being destroyed, we usually think about something being annihilated and forever done away with. However, this word destruction refers to loss. It refers to loss. The word speaks of total and absolute ruin. In all honesty, destruction refers to loss. One suffers in the fires of hell. The fires of hell. Every person who travels the broad way and never gets off of the broad way will eventually find themselves in the fires of hell. You say, preacher, you're making it up. Man, I wish I were. Not making it up. Allow me to give you a little insight into this place where the broad way ends. Destruction. Hell. The Bible tells us that there will be unquenchable fire there. Never will it be put out. Unquenchable. Never will it be satisfied. It's unquenchable fire. The Bible tells us that there will be, for those that find themselves in this eternal lake, they will have full memory and they will experience remorse forever and ever and ever. The Bible tells us that there is unsatisfied thirst. Thirst can never be satisfied in a place called hell. The Bible tells us that there is frustration and anger for all eternity for those that find themselves. Have you ever looked in a mirror when you're frustrated and angry? Do you really want to spend eternity like that? My goodness. Unspeakable pain and misery, the Bible communicates. Eternal separation from God, the Bible says. And finally, undiluted wrath. Undiluted wrath. You've rejected the Christ. You've rejected His grace. You've rejected His mercy. And you are left to your own devices. Friend, your own devices will not get you to God. Your own devices will only get you undiluted wrath. In hell, there will be no more mercy. There will be no more grace extended. Listen to me online today. Hell will be eternally real, and it will be eternally awful. I mean, that's short, simple, and to the point. We could go on and on. The second destination to consider is a much better destination. This destination is called life. We can talk about it as heaven. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. That leads to life. The second destination to consider is called life or heaven. Jesus promised those who would follow this narrow way, He promised them life everlasting. Not just life down here, but everlasting, glorious life in the realms of light above this wicked, perishing world. If hell is a place of horror, and a place of pain, and a place of separation, and a place of suffering, then heaven is a place of joy, is a place of rest, is a place of peace, is a place of unspeakable beauty and glory. Just a brief glimpse of the glories of that city. Tell me that is where I want to end up. I want you to consider this morning these truths about that splendid place called life or heaven. No more tears. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. You know what? When you get there, there'll be no more sin. Won't that be novel and nice? No more night. Daytime all the time because of the glory of God. No more curse. In heaven, in that great city, we will be with God and Jesus and one another. It will be a glorious city, as Revelation tells us. And when we think about heaven, we think about one day being there, it will be glories beyond description, glories beyond our ability as people to comprehend and understand this side of heaven. The narrow road may be the more costly of the two down here. It may very well be. But the end of the road, the final destination, is worth the price for the child of God. When we get to heaven, the trials of the road will seem as nothing. The past will be behind us, and the glories of eternity with Jesus will be unfolding before us. The journey will be over, and we'll finally be able to look at one another and say, we finally made it home. We finally made it home. See, there are two possible directions in life. There are two possible destinations in eternity. And finally this morning, there are two possible decisions that you can make. Two possible decisions that you can make. As we read these verses, verse 13 and 14, Jesus makes clear that we must choose which gate we go through. Which gate we go through and what kind of life we live and consequently where we spend eternity. The Bible tells us there's a wide gate which you can choose to enter. You can choose to do that. Pastor, how do we ever choose the wide gate? Well, it kind of happens like this to us all. When we reach the age of accountability, it's different for every child, 10, 11, 12 perhaps, maybe some 9, maybe some 13. When we reach the age of accountability, the time that we can understand what sin and consequently the time we can understand what right and wrong is, we, in a sense, make a choice to stay on the broad road by the wide gate. By the wide gate, which is basically, the wide gate is our sinful nature. The wide gate is our total depravity. Total depravity. Now, notice that Jesus said that this wide gate was what many would enter into. Many would enter into that. Many, many more will find sinful contentedness. They will find sinful self-sufficiency on the broad road via the wide gate than on the narrow way via the narrow gate. Many, many more. Many, many more will spend an eternity in hell than will ever be in heaven. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. That's just the way it is, right? But what is really sad about all of this that I'm sharing with you today, there's something sad about it. It's right here. What's really sad about this whole thing that I'm sharing with you this morning is that some people have many chances. Are you listening to me online? Many chances throughout their lives to change roads by entering the narrow gate. Many chances. When somebody or something points to the narrow gate, then those on the wide road are to exercise their will and navigate to the narrow gate for entrance to the narrow road. Ignoring, failing to search the better way is like plunging headlong toward hell with reckless abandon and without any visible concern for your soul. Listen to me. There is a wide gate which you can choose to enter. Secondly, this morning, there is a narrow gate which you can choose to enter. A narrow gate. While the wide gate is easy to find because when we're born, we're staring right into it. It's easy to find that one. The small narrow gate is something that must be sought out. When God calls the sinner to come to Him for salvation, when He pricks that heart, the person of the Holy Spirit pricks that heart, we must choose to look away from the allurements of the broad way, and we are to see the narrow gate and the way that it offers, how it offers life and hope, and then we have to decide, we have to choose, we have to exercise our will to make the gate change, friend. Got to make that gate change. The small, narrow gate, beautiful gate, reminds us that entering in is simply a decision. It's simply a decision. There is no room for your good works. It's just a decision. If you're going to come to Jesus for salvation, then you are going to have to be willing to travel light. Man, you're going to have to let go of any thought or idea or belief that you somehow deserve or you have earned to get to go through the narrow gate as some kind of a toll to get you in. There's no toll. Jesus already paid for it. Jesus already paid the toll. You just got to go through it, friend. Make the decision. In the great hymn, Rock of Ages, the third verse, last stanza of the third verse, begins, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." The greatest decision of your life is a decision to receive God's grace by the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. He is the narrow gate. Or you reject Christ and you remain on the wide, broad road which leads to destruction. There's only two ways. There's only two roads. There's only two destinations. I pray if you have not made the right choice that you will see the exit ramp and you will see the mile marker for the narrow gate. And today, you will make a beeline. You will downshift whatever you're riding, whatever you're on, whatever you're doing. You'll downshift that dude and hit the pedal to the metal and get off the Broadway and onto the exit ramp and make the loopy-doo and jump out of everything that you're in. Get free of everything and shoot the narrow gate. and shoot it. Shoot the narrow gate. And then, friend, once you go through the narrow gate, it opens up for you. Life, life everlasting. Blessings untold. Difficulty? Constricting? Yes. But with Jesus, what a way to live, man. What a way to go, right? Praise the Lord for you if you've made the right decision. And if you've not made the right decision, we pray you make it today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and for saving us. And Lord, we pray for those that need to make this decision, that need to make this decision of salvation, that need to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, sometimes we're on that broad way, we're on that broad road, we think we've got it all figured out, we think we're smarter than God, and we think it's all going to come together for us in the end, and because we're a good person here, we're a good person there, we live a good life there, a good life here, we're going to somehow earn some kind of benefit, pay some kind of a toll. The Bible says it doesn't work that way. We all must go through Christ, the narrow gate. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son, for making the choice to redeem us, making the choice to stand in our place, to hang on the cross, to pay that debt that we couldn't pay. Thankful, thankful, thankful. Lord, for those here today pondering, thinking about those that they know that are lost, I pray they would lift up that lost individual, that lost person, right this moment, right this minute. And Lord, as they pray for them, I pray that you might use them to be the instrument of salvation in that lost person's life. That they would be the one to take the gospel. That they would be the one to sow the gospel seed. And that, Lord, as they do their due diligence to communicate the grace of Jesus, you would send other Christians and other believers to water that seed and to sow more seed. And Lord, in days from now and weeks from now and months from now, perhaps even years from now, you would bring to fruition the gospel seed in saving these lost people that we know, in bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it is eternally too late. We thank you for this day. And Lord, may we be submissive. May we be obedient. May we be moldable and malleable this day. And Lord, if you grant us another day, I pray that we would be about your business. We would be about your gospel scattering process. Wherever we find ourselves, wherever we travel, wherever we walk, Lord, we would let the good news out. We would release it, share it, sow it, scatter it. And then, Lord, we would continue to pray, continue to love people, and watch you do amazing things through your word and by your spirit. We praise you today, Lord, for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and for the great things you have for us in the future. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and we are eternally grateful, daily, daily, eternally grateful for our salvation. We love you so much. Thank you for all you do. And God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed today. Don't forget to social distance. Keep your masks up and on. And Brother John's got the offertory plate back there. If you got an offering, you can place it up here on the Lord's Supper table, or you can put it back there on the way out the door. You folks are dismissed.